Romans chapter 8, beginning in the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Tonight we are focusing particularly on verses 5 to 8 of this chapter, which have to do with our minds, or perhaps more precisely, with our thinking and how we use our minds. They follow on after this section where Paul has been talking about how we have no condemnation if we are in Christ Jesus. How we've been set free from the law of sin and death, or the ruling principle of sin and death. And how God has condemned sin in Christ that we might have that freedom. That is the basis of our no condemnation. For the purpose, we find out in verse 4, that we might fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And then there's this little phrase in verse 4, identifying these people who are going to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That lays the foundation for what we're going to think about tonight. Because then in verse 5, he goes on, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's in this context that he's talking about how it is that we use our minds, how it is that we think. And the force of these verses is that it really matters how we think. In fact, spiritual thinking really matters. And so that is our title this evening. Spiritual thinking matters. And there are three things from these verses which indicate that to us, and which will be the points for the sermon. Our thinking affects our conduct. Our thinking reflects who we are. And our thinking leads us towards life or death. So it's all under this idea of spiritual thinking matters. And these are reasons why it matters. Looking then first at this idea of our thinking affects our conduct. We've seen how verse 4 tells us that one of the reasons for which Christ died was that these righteous requirements of the law might be filled in those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But then he goes on, as I said, to talk about this idea of thinking. And you might ask, what is the connection here between these things, between walking according to the flesh, or according to the Spirit, and thinking in a way that is according to the Spirit or according to the flesh? On the one hand, it's walking, it's the course of our life. It's what our life is determined by, either the Spirit or by the flesh. And on the other hand, it's our thinking. And what we find here is that there is a connection. And what Paul is saying is that actually the way we think has a big impact on how we walk. And this is not an idea that's foreign to the Scriptures as a whole. You think of Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Literally, it's let this thinking be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And when Paul says that, he's not simply saying, think about it and do nothing else. He wants action to follow from this thinking. The reason why he's telling them to have this mind is because having that mind will then produce the humility that Christ had, as we know from the rest of the passage. And likewise, in the book of Joshua 1:8, we read, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The Lord is talking to Joshua. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The idea is that Joshua is to know this law and is to meditate on it. This is a continual action of thinking about it. And why? Because it's going to have effects on his life. It's going to proceed out in a way that characterizes his life. His walking, the course of his life, is going to be different because he has meditated on God's law. That is the connection that we have here between verses 4 and 5. He wants them to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And for that reason, he tells them, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And this idea of setting our minds, literally it's thinking, but it's not simply a momentary thought or even a thought here and there and many thoughts over time, but it's a continual thinking. It's in fact a pattern of thinking. You know, you think about people who are indoctrinated with some sort of ideology, whether good or bad. What happens is there is a pattern of thinking which they fall into, and then that results in certain actions. But we might say, according to their thinking, this happens. Even a group like ISIS, for instance, they think that they are doing things. People, perhaps, who've gone over to Syria from this country, they have fallen into a pattern of thinking which has resulted in them making this horrible choice to join a group that is absolutely, very clearly in rebellion to all that is good and right and God has set up. But it's because of the pattern of thinking that they've fallen into. And here, Paul is saying that there are these two patterns of thinking, one of the flesh and one of the Spirit. And they determine our action. And the reason why he's saying that is because he wants us to have that pattern of thinking, which is according to the flesh. He wants us to think the things which flow from the Spirit. And what are these things? Well, in regards to the flesh, we think of Philippians 3:18 and 19. Paul's talking about false teachers here, but in many ways this could apply to anyone who is thinking according to the flesh. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." And you see here as well the connection between walking and setting your minds. But in this case, rather than it flowing from the Spirit, it's flowing from the flesh. That word that characterizes human nature as it is fallen, rebellion against God, in every way contrary to God's law. And these are some of the characteristics. They are self-centered. Their God, the one whom they serve, is their own appetites. And their glory is their shame. And their minds are set on earthly things. This is what it looks like to have that pattern of thinking that is determined, that is according to the flesh. But on the other hand, in regard to the Spirit, we need to think of what the Spirit's role is. What is it that the Spirit does? Well, the Spirit points to God the Father. The Spirit points to God the Son. And the Spirit also opens up our eyes to spiritual truth. And so having a pattern of thinking which is according to the Spirit is having a pattern of thinking which thinks about God, which thinks about His Son, which meditates on His character, His work, His will. In every way is in accordance with God's law. And it's not only this pattern of thinking, but it's also the things which result from it. We see that in verse 5. So, the things which the Spirit would have us think about, then, are God's character, His work, and His will. So we've seen here, from various parts of Scripture, and from these Scriptures as well, that our thinking affects our conduct. But there is another thing that we need to learn from this verse 5. And that is that our thinking reflects who we are. The idea here is about our nature and who we are. Because it says, for those who live according to the flesh, or literally those who think according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. There is this idea of those who are according to the flesh, and out of that then flows fleshly thoughts. Or the people who are according to the Spirit, out of that flows spiritual thoughts. But it is based on who we are that we have these thoughts, one way or another. This is a very pale reflection of this idea, but we might think about how our thoughts can often be determined by those we spend time with. They're conditioned by the things we do, the things we fill our minds with. You know, if we're always spending time around people who only talk about food and football, for instance, then that's the sort of thing that we're going to be thinking about. Those are the things that are going to fill our minds. But in a much more serious way, there's this idea of our nature either being according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. In either way, then we're going to be conditioned one way or another. And we think about 1 Corinthians 2:12-14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you see that? There is this aspect of things being spiritually discerned, and we can only discern them if we are of the Spirit. And so our thinking reflects who we are. If we're of the flesh, our thinking will be fleshly. But if the Spirit, our thinking spiritual. Thirdly, then, our thinking leads us towards either life or death. And here we're thinking about verses 6, 7, and 8. And Paul puts this in here partially as a motivation for us. He shows us the result of these two different ways of thinking. And there is a contrast, life versus death. But then he goes on in seven and eight, to fill out this idea a little bit. And in particular, he uses the flesh and what flows from that. And we see that it brings enmity with God. For to be carnally minded is death, says verse 16, but then verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And furthermore, it doesn't even submit to God's law. So there's this attitude of enmity, but then there's also the action which flows from it. There's the attitude of enmity, but that expresses itself in lack of obedience. But worse still, it cannot even obey God's law. There is an inability here. And then Paul emphasizes that again in verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't even please God. But on the other hand, there is the Spirit. We're not given that explicitly here, but what is implied? Well, it's implied that those who are of the Spirit love God. They have an obedience to his law. That's how their love expresses itself. And that the Spirit makes them able to obey that law. And as a result, they can please God. Not pleasing God in and of themselves, but as they are united to Christ. That's a wonderful thing, that even the things that we do please God insofar as we're in Christ. And in this way, we see this path, that there's enmity with God leading to a lack of following his law, leading to not being able, or not leading to, but it's just the case that they can't please him. That's what this death looks like, because it will bring upon these people the eternal judgment of God in eternal hell, in death. But on the other hand, there's life and peace. What does that look like? Love for God. Obedience to his law. And Christ is the perfect example of that for us. He loved God to the uttermost. He obeyed all of God's law. And we see him resisting temptation in the wilderness, even at Gethsemane, going to the cross. So, what we see in these verses is that our thinking has an effect upon how we act. Also that it reflects who we are. But that our thinking leads us either towards life or towards death. It has this effect, not in the sense that we're either saved or not by it. It's not that at all. But it leads us either towards the blessing of obeying God's law or the cursing that results from not obeying it. So then, in application, we must consider our thinking important. If this is what it does, then the way we think, the pattern of our thinking has massive effects and is important. And what are the things then that condition our thinking? Are they of the flesh or are they of the spirit? Spend some time thinking about this. I mean, there could be things like books or films or music. What are you filling your mind with? Or what are the conduits that you are using to fill your mind with stuff? Are they the sorts of things that flow from the spirit? Are they in line with God's law? Or are they the sorts of things that are in line with the flesh? And then there's the aspect that if you're outside of Christ, you cannot please God. We see that very clearly in this passage. And for you then, you need to simply cry out for a new heart. Cry out for God to give you that heart, that you would be able to think in line with the Spirit. But also, fill your mind with the things of the Spirit. Read Scripture. And not only read it, but meditate on it. Pray about it. Memorize Scripture. Know God's character. Read good books. And learn to fit your circumstances into what you know to be true. So use the difficulties, the frustrations that you have in life as little pricks, as it were, to cause you to think about the things of God, or how God is sustaining you in a difficult trial, or his character, that he never changes and he always is faithful to his people. These sorts of things. And finally, pray. This thinking is in line with the Spirit. It's not simply something that we can gin up on our own strength. It's something that we desperately need God's help to think in line with his Spirit. So be diligent in prayer that God would help you in these regards. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you and we ask for your help, that you would help us as we think about our thinking, about the patterns of our thought, that they would be according to your Spirit and not according to the flesh. Lord, we know that this is not something that we can completely do on our own, that there are tools that you've given us, but we need your Spirit to work in us. And so we pray that he would do that. In Jesus' name, amen.